Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bruins Beat. A different look this week. Evan is on a much-deserved vacation, so I will be hosting this week. I'm Belle Fraser, Bruins Beat reporter for the Hockey News. I was on a couple months ago, so very excited to be back, and I'm joined by Joe Pohorelis, also Bruins Beat writer for the Hockey News. Joe, I'll let you do your own intro.
Yeah, well, you said half of it. I also do coverage for NHL.com as well as the Hockey News with Bell. So we got a little bit of a THN takeover on Bruins Beat this week. And thanks for having me. Excited to get started.
Yeah. I thought quickly, you know, the last Bruins Beat was Evan and Bridget, two UMass alums, and they were talking college hockey. And Evan somehow handed it over to two Terriers once again. Both BU students, well, Joe's graduated. But yeah, BU made the Frozen Four this weekend just to catch everyone up on the college hockey. I know that's what everyone was wondering. BU's back in it. BC's back in it. But a lot of Bruins this weekend, but also some good college hockey.
Yeah, I mean, you were there in person in Sioux Falls, so I'm sure you've got more to say about that. Well, you were watching BU win the regional final. I was following along on Twitter, and Connor Ryan, who's familiar with this show, we were sitting next to each other in Washington and sort of giving each other updates when we could. But I was in person at the Caps game, or the Caps Bruins game, in Washington, doing some coverage for THN over there.
Oh, perfect segue. You know, I just had to drop in that BU's in the Frozen Four again. But yeah, Joe, you were on the ground in Washington on Saturday. We can go into kind of the logistics of the game. Montgomery really shuffled the lines. He always does, but this was a full mix up. But for you, you were at practice, you were there for 2 days. So just what were the main takeaways from the Bruins' performance this weekend?
Yeah, I think one of the main things that Montgomery said right away heading into the game was how they were embarrassed on home ice the last time they played the Capitals. They were shut out 3-0. At the time, probably one of their worst performances, especially at home this season. So I think the focus was getting back into it. They had clinched the playoff spot already. They were idle, I think, on Thursday, but because of the scoreboards across the country, they were able to secure their spot. So bit of breathing room for them, knowing that they were in, but also they're right in the thick of things in the Atlantic Division race, so they didn't want to let off the gas. And Montgomery, after the game, said it was playoff hockey. It went down to the wire. Not a lot of shots, but just still liked the quality of play. And, yeah, so it was low event at times, but still pretty full effort from the team on both sides. And I think obviously got the result they wanted to in the shootout.
Yeah, some people were pointing it out that he called it playoff hockey, but kind of went with a look that maybe isn't what they're going to look like game one for the playoffs. And coming down this far in the stretch, and guys are still obviously battling for roster positions. We can talk about that too with Pat Maroon. You know, he practiced today for the first time, so that bottom six might have a new look in a couple weeks. But what did you think of the new combinations? You know, Montgomery changes the forward lines a lot, but this was one of the first times we saw every D pair switch, maybe minus Shattenkirk and Peake. But yeah, what did you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so I don't know if he's fully alluded to it. That's been sort of a lot of the questions that he's been asked at media availability. But I think because their spot is secure, I think he's just trying to leave no stone unturned and figure out what combination is going to work best, maybe trying to push some buttons. If you're skating with the same guy every single night, obviously it's the NHL. These guys are going to be locked in, but getting accustomed to new faces, if injuries happen in the playoffs, that could lead to some shuffling. We saw that last season with Patrice Bergeron missing some games. So it just seems like it's an effort to see what would work best, maybe things that he hadn't considered in the past, but also in a way kind of preparing for the group for, hey, if, you know, stuff happens that isn't ideal, then, you know, this is the time to get ready for that and prepare for those situations.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I also think it was interesting looking at the guys that scored too. Like, you look at that first line and maybe, you know, Pastrnak goes back up there to get Marchand going, and that's kind of the idea there. But then get a goal from Hampus Lindholm, who hadn't scored, I think, since November. Is that correct? And then,
yeah, just the second goal of the year. Yeah.
All right. And Johnny Beecher gets on the score sheet, and then Kevin Shattenkirk with the shootout winner. And those are three guys that, you know, aren't saying it to the media, but probably want to up their production. So I don't know if that was the full intent of Montgomery to get his more depth scoring going, but it worked. Brad Marchand, obviously top six, not a lot of scoring, but yeah, interesting. And we'll see if that continues at practice today. The lines were a little bit different because David Pastrnak had a maintenance day and Pat Maroon filled in on the second line, which most likely will not be his role with the Bruins.
Probably not.
I'm going to bet on that. But yeah, we can go into kind of today at practice. Bruins are heading off to Nashville for their game tomorrow, but they were at Warrior Ice Arena today. And Montgomery talked about a couple things, but one thing that stood out was the Lindholm and McAvoy pairing. And he said that that is something you could see in playoffs, that depending on the matchup, he likes it. But he also talked about balancing them because they're kind of more similar in their play. They're both big. They're both physical, both not afraid to hop into the rush offensively. And he called them alpha males, but kind of saying like one's going to have to learn to sit back while the other goes and joins the play. So, yeah, I mean, how do you see those two working together versus, you know, when Lindholm's playing with Carlo, who's more stay at home, and when McAvoy's playing with Grizzlick, who in the same vein is going to sit back for him?
Yeah, I think it's sort of like just to, you know, compare it to, you know, the Dynasty Warriors when they had their lineup of death or their death lineup, sort of not a conventional 1 through 5, but just putting their best out there. I think in those situations, whether they're going to start game one that way and they want to get off to a good start, or if they're, you know, facing desperate times at some point in the series, getting your best players on the ice in, you know, those crucial situations is what they're going to do. And if you're the Bruins, that's Lindholm and McAvoy on the back end. So getting them some more familiarity, playing with each other, and, you know, not trying to play hero ball or hero puck, you know, both of them at the same time. And I was on the other end of it. I was talking to Carlo at practice in Virginia on Friday and sort of asked him about, you know, spending so much time with Lindholm and sort of moving around. He said that he feels that every defenseman on the team is comfortable communicating with each other and playing with each other. And he's not as concerned about, you know, shifting up the lines and stuff like that. And he's excited to play with a guy like Grizzlick, or today when he skated with Lori, two puck moving defensemen that allows him to sort of focus on his own defensive game and sort of encourage them to get into the rush of things. So it's that type of lineup change is something that's going to have ripple effects down the whole top six or the whole six defensive unit.
Yeah, it's funny too. Like, now that they have technically 8 defensemen, obviously not dressing them, you kind of forget the first half of the season when that D core was so hurt. And like Carlo and Lori skated together for a while, as did McAvoy and Lori, and kind of how they were the ones that stopped the bleeding, even though during that time, you know, they got them out of the slump and they really held it down. So it is interesting how they really do all seem able to play with each other no matter what. And I really like Lori playing with Carlo. I think it's Carlo's so steady and secure. And I think Lori has worked on his defensive details. That's something they always talked about when they sent him back down to Providence or sat him, was kind of like, we love the creativity, we love the excitement, but you also have to do your job. And I think that's really shown in the last handful of games that he's played, that he's balancing that out. So I like that pair. And then, you know, I feel like Andrew Peak too, we haven't talked a lot about him since he's was acquired at the trade deadline, which is almost a good thing. You know, like, he's been not quiet, but he hasn't been no blaring mistakes. You know, he's kind of fit in where they've needed him. So what have you seen from him in you know, the past couple weeks?
Yeah, I think just sort of, you said it, just fitting in. I think there was a lot of concern coming out of Columbus. Admittedly, I hadn't watched him all that much in Columbus, so, but there were a lot of concerns about just the way he had played there this season. That didn't go the way that he wanted to. I believe in seasons past, he was in the lineup every day. This year, not so much the case. So I think it just seemed like a change of scenery and just the way that the Bruins are structured and the veterans that they have already. He wasn't thrust into a big role right away. They let him take his time to develop, putting him on the third pair. I think they've handled that transition well, and he's been able to step up. He had a big hit on Hendrix LaPierre in Washington, where there were a bunch of Bruins fans sitting in front of the press box at Capital One Arena, and that was probably the loudest that I heard them personally during that game, aside from the goals and that stuff. I think that he's starting to transition well and come to his own, and if he's a guy that they can trust on the third pair come the playoffs, especially with Forbert, who may not have had the best year, but sort of played that, you know, shutdown penalty kill role when he was at his best, I think that's sort of a good replacement, if not an upgrade for that.
Yeah, totally. I also think too, in some of Peak's intro interviews in his first couple of days in Boston, he just talked about the opportunity to play for a contender. And in Columbus, you know, every game matters, whatever you want to say, but it is true. Like he and the Bruins do have things on the lines right now, whether that's seeding or just knowing that you need to be at your best come playoff. So, I mean, I imagine that's another reason to elevate your game to kind of match the standard that is Bruins hockey. And he's been able to do that pretty well. We'll look at the forward group in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors.
Prize Picks is America's number one sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Now get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make a pick and submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and for his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit matchup to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks.
So the big news at Bruins practice today, other than the line changes, was Pat Maroon. He was on the ice in a regular jersey, his first full practice. You know, he's skated beforehand, before the team practice, you know, last month, last week, but hasn't been, you know, in line rushes doing full drills with them yet. And he was today, like we said, he got in on the second line. Obviously, that's not permanent, more of a placeholder. But yeah, he talked about being able to go to battle, even if it's in practice, and obviously skating alone and going through drills with coaches. You don't get that game like action. You don't get that feeling of compete and the compete level he wants to be at. So yeah, he talked about it, just a relief to be back out there. He talked a lot about getting back up to speed. He's been out for almost 12 weeks. He got back surgery in early February. And Montgomery said he's still week to week. He said that he thinks the earliest he could come back is April 13th against the Pittsburgh Penguins. But then Maroon said sometime next week, I'm guessing. So, you know, obviously the players always want to get back earlier than, you know, maybe the plan the medical staff has. But it seems like he's a lot closer to becoming day to day instead of week to week. And, you know, he looked, for what a practice was, pretty mobile out there today.
Yeah, it was definitely not hard to spot on the ice, just the amount of size that he brings and the pedigree that he has and the physicality. I think the move that they made was trying to replace what they were hoping Milan Lucic would bring. Obviously, that's another story with what happened there, but that's a veteran presence with cup-winning ability. And every time he's been asked, Montgomery has pointed out to that championship experience that he brings and just knowing how to play physical, bringing that, you know, mentality that they want to have on their fourth line. So I would assume as soon as he's healthy and ready to go and with what they feel is comfortable, he's going to shoot right into the lineup.
Yeah, Montgomery talked about that championship experience, that playoff experience today. Maroon has, I think, over 150 playoff games under his belt, obviously 3-time Stanley Cup champion. And just in terms of when he comes back in the lineup, Maroon was saying, you know, I'd love to get a couple regular season games under my belt just so the stakes aren't the highest they will be in my first time as a Bruin. But Montgomery was kind of like, yeah, if we can get him back in the regular season, we will. But because of that experience, because of that pedigree, Montgomery isn't worried about it. So it seems like whether he's in before the regular season ends or not, Montgomery's confident that he will probably be in that game one, if not game two, three lineup, which makes things complicated for the bottom six guys now, especially players like Johnny Beecher and Justin Brazo, who kind of not fit the same mold as Maroon, but are maybe the two you're looking at that one of them would have to come out if Maroon came in. Maybe Jacob Lauko, depending on how heavy you want your bottom six to be. But yeah, looking at that, like they're battling for position, and then to battle all season just for game one for Maroon to come back is tough for the certainty and kind of knowing your luck going into the postseason. But if Maroon does come back in April before the playoffs start, who do you think sits out and who deserves to sit out, I guess? Who deserves a spot to stay in?
Yeah, I mean, I remember thinking when they made that trade, looking ahead, just seeing, you know, what was happening. And based on what Montgomery was saying about how similar they were in their play, like Justin Brazo, great story. This guy's probably coming to take your spot. But yeah, with the way Brazo's been playing, and recently I have the score in the past couple games, but he had a bit of a scoring surge, you know, over a few span of games. They've been using him on the second power play unit occasionally. If he continues to, you know, drop off the radar a little bit, might be another story. But based on his recent play, you don't take a guy like that out of the lineup, especially with the, you know, scoring touch that he can bring to the bottom six. So that would have been my answer initially. I feel like you kind of have to keep Beecher in, just what he brings on faceoffs, and which is, you know, they lacked a little bit when he was sent down in Providence, and also just his penalty kill ability. They like the way he's been playing. So yeah, probably Lauko and maybe even James Van Riemsdyk. He was scratched the last couple games, or at least the last game. He wasn't included in the line rushes at practice today. Obviously, you know, he's another veteran. So, you know, in times of need, they might rely on that veteran experience, you know, over someone like Lauko or Beecher or even Brazo that doesn't have as much of that. So really comes down to preference. But I think as it stands today, it might be Van Riemsdyk and Lauko out and potentially seeing Maroon on the third line, or maybe putting Beecher up to the third line, something in that nature.
Yeah, I agree with you. At first, you kind of, when Pat Maroon first came, you're like, yeah, probably Beecher or Brazo. But it is interesting. That's kind of been the story of the season for this Bruins team. It's the opportunity, and then the guys that maybe you're thinking aren't going to make a difference end up making the lineup out of, you know, opening night, out of training camp, or make the lineup for playoffs. And I think also something interesting with Brazo, just in the comparison to Pat Maroon, Brazo comes in and he's like, what, 6'4", 200 something pounds. And you automatically think he's going to be this huge physical guy, like bruiser like Maroon is. And it's interesting, like he's just talented too, you know? And I don't go into games now thinking like, oh, Brazo's going to have five big hits and like try to start a fight. Like that's just not his game. And I think when you have his build and his stature and he's net front on the power play and, you know, he has some of those characteristics, but at the same time, like you said, he has that scoring touch. And I think that's something that's kind of set him apart from being, you know, a Providence fill-in or just, you know, a fourth liner for size. And that's been a welcome surprise. I don't know if it's a surprise for the coaching staff, but maybe for the media and fans, it's been good to see. And then James Van Riemsdyk, he was battling that illness for a while, and Montgomery, he came back to celebrate his 1,000th game against Philadelphia at TD a couple weeks ago, but Montgomery said realistically like he would not have played that game, and he looks a little weaker, to state the obvious, and he even looks smaller. I don't know what the illness was, but I mean, I think part of that is like getting your strength back and being up to par with what they expect of you. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting. You're trading experience for experience with Van Riemsdyk and Maroon. So I wouldn't have thought that JVR was the one to come out, but it looks like that might be it. And then looking at Beecher, you talked to him one-on-one just about that fourth line. That's a line that kind of struggled to have an identity for a big part of the season, basically the full first half. And then, you know, they bring up all those guys from Providence. Yes, Jesper Boqvist makes a living. He stays. And now Beecher is kind of a permanent resident there too. So just what were your takeaways from that conversation with him and kind of their determination to prove to Montgomery that like, we are the fourth line, we got this, like we are the guys that you want come game one?
Yeah, well, I noticed even before media availability, I saw that Montgomery sort of pulled those four guys, Lauko, Beecher, Boqvist, and Brazo, sort of pulled him aside just for a quick chat. So wanted to ask Beecher, what was that about? What was he sort of laying out there? And really it was, you know, combination of what they've already been striving to do so far this season, which is just playing physical, playing within the right structure, bringing what you would expect from a fourth line, but also adding a vocal leadership element. I mean, all those guys on the, in that bottom, in bottom line, fourth line, except for Boqvist, not much NHL experience, and going into that locker room, you know, you're not just going to walk up and be like, all right, Brad Marchand, like, this is how you should be doing this. Like, that's obviously, that's not what's going to happen in any case, but Beatrice saying that both Montgomery and Marchand were sort of encouraging them to bring a little bit of a vocal energy, keep the spirits up on the bench. And I think that's going to be one of their focuses, you know, alongside how they're playing on the ice and what they're doing out there, but just what they can add to the locker room as a whole. And I think that may not make or break, you know, the decision at the end of the day, but it'll certainly help each person's case if they can sort of demonstrate that and add value in that way.
100%. And we'll get into a look ahead for that line and the Bruins' upcoming schedule. But first, a message from Factor Meals.
I want to tell you about our friends over at Factor Meals. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. And they're tailored to your schedule. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/Bruins50 and use code Bruins50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Bruins50 at factormeals.com/Bruins50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Now back to the show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Right, like you were saying about the fourth line, Joe, just having everyone involved come playoffs is going to be really important. But Bruins are playing a lot of teams that are already playing playoff hockey right now. So I feel like that fourth line and everyone's test is kind of right now. It's not in a couple of weeks. And that's kind of been one of the issues with the Bruins, is finding consistency in their level of desperation, their level of urgency when they're playing against these teams that are skating for their playoff lives. And I think it's hard to recreate, as much as the leadership will say, you know, we have things to play for, home ice, you know, our first round matchup. There's nothing like a team that wants to be in the playoffs, that is on the cusp, one point in, one point out. And the Bruins have faced a lot of that. They won against Washington, but, you know, took it to a shootout. And coming up next is the Nashville Predators, who are in the first wild card spot, 90 points, but they're, you know, they could be in third place with one more point. They could be the second wild card with three less points. So they're kind of in that same position. And what have you seen from the Bruins just in terms of following a good game with another good game? You know, they beat the Florida Panthers, and that was, you know, one of the most desperate games I've seen the Bruins play recently. They really, everyone was going. But then they followed up in Tampa back to back. You can make the excuse, but the same passion and emotion just wasn't there. So what do you think the key is to have the Bruins string together, you know, consecutive full heart games, I guess, not just wins, but where you're really seeing them play with a playoff level of emotion and compete?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, playing smart and just getting, you know, staying within their structure. You can see sometimes earlier in the season as well, where maybe they built up a bit of a lead, they'd sort of sit back on their heels a little bit and allow the other teams to push. Well, they may not have the lead in these games, but these teams are going to be having that same push, not to try to win back a point in the single game, but just to win back a point, as you said, in their playoff race. So they're going to see that more and more, and I think that's ultimately a good thing come the playoffs if they can learn to manage it. They pretty much did against Washington. They Lindholm got a stick in TJ Oshie's face just a minute into overtime, put them on the penalty kill for four straight minutes for the rest of that extra period. That's a, you know, that's a real test. That's something significant. They don't need the points. Even if the Caps scored in overtime, they were still going to get a point out of that. Maybe not as much desperation mentally on their side, but they bought in. They blocked four shots from Ovechkin, who was out there on the ice the whole time, I think, in that power play. And Swayman made four saves when he needed to. So things like that in those situations where maybe it's still a tie game, maybe they have the lead, but, you know, selling out their body, blocking shots, doing all the things that, you know, kind of gets preached ad nauseum by these teams, just actually going out there and doing it.
Totally. And I think, too, Montgomery's message last week, coming out to the media, who he's usually not very confrontational about his team with, and saying, we are not playoff ready. I think that goes into that penalty kill and knowing that, okay, this point isn't going to make or break our season, but we need to get our head coach to believe that we are his team for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that we need to win this. So this has been talked about, obviously, that was last week. But I do think when you're looking at how this team finishes the season, that practice will kind of be a pinpoint. And even today at practice, you know, he dropped another F-bomb. He paused it for a second. There were no sprints, but, you know, the intensity and the expectations are definitely there. And we'll see how they respond against Nashville, a team that has been on an incredibly hot streak right now. It's, you know, it's the funny story in the NHL. They were going to go to the U2 concert. They weren't playing well. Management didn't let them go. And then since then, in their last 18 games, they're 16-0-2. And yeah, I mean, not only are the Bruins coming against a team that needs points, but a team that has been playing their best hockey as of late on the road. And then they'll finish out the road trip and be back at TD Garden. What is it? April 6th against the Panthers?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so.
Carolina. But so, yeah, those are two big games coming up. And I think response and consistency is kind of the thing I'm looking for as the Bruins close out this regular season, which is kind of crazy. We were talking about it, looking at the schedule, just like how fast I feel like the last 2 months have gone since the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, only three home games left and pretty much every game against a team that's, as you mentioned, sort of on the cusp of the playoffs, on that bubble. So they're going to get the type of exposure and the type of tune-up that they need. It's just a matter of what they do with it come, you know, playoff time when the games actually count for more.
Yeah. I would say their schedule too is kind of a blessing in disguise. Like, you don't want to end the season playing not meaningful games, and not that they're the most meaningful games, but this week, you know, Predators, Carolina, Panthers, you got to be on your A game for all of those. So I think it's a good learning experience, and they have to be in playoff mode. I mean, we say it again and again, it's the worn out storyline of the last 20 games of the season, but this really is it for a Bruins team that the expectation, the standard now is they got to get out the first round. We don't need to talk about last year again, but I think this team knows that it is their job to kind of bring the pride back, it's a different roster, but you know, like they got to get out of there and they got to put on a good performance. So hopefully these games are kind of where they figure it out, get the kinks out. Anything else from you, Joe? I'm going to do my best Evan impression. What can we expect from you? Recaps, where are you writing? Where can we find you? Twitter, etc.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm the Hockey News, NHL.com. We're doing a lot of there about the Bruins. That'll only pick up once we get to the playoffs. That's pretty much the extent of it these days. I do freelance stuff with other outlets. But yeah, pretty much focused on the Bruins for the most part.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, Joe, and thanks for tuning into the Bruins Beat this week.